present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with some information given on a jar of mincemeat, read by Peter Donaldson.
The contents are sufficient for a pie for six persons or 12 small tarts.
Thanks to Janet Sanso and Isabel Page Wood for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Linda Smith. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Andy Hamilton. Jeremy, why could a taxing time be good for your health?
This is the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who the last 4 years we've all been saying, look, stop trying to run public finances like a bring and buy sale and just put taxes up. And they finally acknowledge that they're going to do it. Whereas the Tories favour an insurance scheme whereby instead of getting an operation, you die and your family gets an insurance payout. But he looked a bit upset because I don't think he was reckoning to spend as much as Blair said he was then going to spend.
It's all to do with the tiff that's been ongoing between Tony and Gordon. And I think, like sort of divorcing parents, they're vying for our affection. It's what's happening. You know, Tony Blair saying, we're going to give billions to the health service. And Gordon says, no, I'm going to give you even more billions. Love me, I'm going to give you even more billions. And in the end, you've got Gordon saying, here you are, it's a billion for your hospital. Remember, David Blunkett is not your real dad. That's how it's going to go. So I reckon mountain bikes all round this Christmas, kids.
I think Gordon Brown is obviously going through a midlife crisis. Because when previously cautious men start acting in a rather sort of headstrong, foolish way. I mean, what did poor Prudence do? She served him faithfully all those years. He pushed her under a truck and started going out with the brassy floozy of fiscal optimism. Suddenly starts saying, it's all going to be rolling in. Don't worry about the recession in America. And I think that's probably at the heart of it. I think he'll probably turn up on a Harley Davidson. But he did say he wanted to start a serious debate, didn't he, about how to fund the health service in future. And personally, I would fund the hospitals the way that conservation projects are funded in zoos. You know, when you can sponsor an animal, you could sponsor a casualty nurse. You know, you could get a little thing through the post every now and then saying, this is Geraldine. And she's doing very well, and thanks to your money we were able to hire a security guard to fight off the drunks last Saturday night.
Despite rumours to the contrary, Tony Blair is happy with the Chancellor's new tax credit scheme, so long as Gordon raises taxes and Tony takes the credit. Linda, which group of rival factions is slowly learning to get along in Bonn?
Is this the Great War conference?
Lots of chuckles here, yes.
It's a bit like one of those cruel games, like no win, no fee or something. All the different factions, if they don't all agree with each other, they don't get the big prize. So there are refugees all over Afghanistan cheering them on, going, come on, come on, come on, because if they don't agree, that's it. No bunts, nothing. Seems a little harsh, really.
There was a rather sweet statement from the Taliban, which is not something you'll say every day of your
life. That's the sort of the moderate, and that's Mullah Light.
they said they didn't know where Osama bin Laden was because they'd lost touch. And you thought, isn't that always the way? You work very closely together for a period of time,
so
and then once
done.
The job ends, you're off. You never see him again.
You're off.
You lose their address at Christmas, you know.
See, that's going to be a difficult thing, sorting out what is actual bomb damage and what is just things the Taliban did when they were destroying Afghanistan, really. I mean, their policy was to push walls on homosexuals. That was a punishment for homosexuals, to push walls on them. So you've got to look at this devastation and think, well, was this a bombing or did they just raid a gay club?
Do they carry walls around with them, then, for that purpose?
Well, you've got to wonder. I mean, I suppose it would cause a bit of a boom in the building industry if they've got to keep building walls, but you couldn't really put your heart into it if you knew it was going to be knocked down onto a gay club immediately afterwards.
The United Nations hopes that the former king, Zahir Shah, will act as a figurehead to unite the Afghan factions by going on holidays, masquerading as official visits, going to the races, and visiting the set of Middle East Enders. All right, all right.
We did all that so you could end up with Middle East Enders.
It's like going up the north face of the Eiger carrying a gas stove.
I bet. I bet in the Taliban version of the news quiz, the audience aren't allowed to groan like that.
Andy, who hopes to stop scientists going to work on an egg?
This is cloning.
It is.
This is cloning. I get very confused by cloning stories. Some chaps in America cloned a human embryo? No. A human cell.
Cell.
It's a cell. And this is where I get into
trouble.
It's
an embryo now.
It is not...
Next week it's going to be 1,400 blokes going off to work. But it was a cell last week.
It was a cell. And as a cell, it doesn't constitute life yet. So we needn't get alarmed. But a lot of people are very worried that it's going to lead to catalogues where you can choose your baby and say, I'll have that one because it matches the curtains. Cloning comes around regularly, and I think what I need to do is clone a more intelligent version of myself who can follow the story.
If you cloned you, though,
yeah,
it would just be born old, wouldn't it? Like Spencer Tracy. If you clone yourself now, then it would just be you now, wouldn't it, when it was cloned?
Well, this is like going to heaven when you've had two wives, and which of them do you meet? Children always ask this question about getting a divorce. Which mummy will you meet in heaven? How dead will you be? Will you have bones? Will you have eyes? The whole point of cloning is to avoid heaven. We can all die and then leave our bits and there will be new Jeremy Hardys.
I can reveal, I'll do it now. It's time I let my secret out. I am actually cloned from Luciano Pavarotti.
An emergency bill to ban human reproductive cloning has been rushed through Parliament this week. Thousands of children from the same minute gene pool could have dreadful consequences for the human race, as anyone who's ever been to Lowestoft can attest. Listeners from Lowestoft.
Audience from Lowestoft. What are the odds? What were the odds against that?
Oh, sorry, we're very rude about Runcorn later, so that'll be a consolation, won't it? Alan, listen to this. Going Underground by The Jam. Who's been the bearer of bad news again?
Oh, this is Stephen Byers and Joe Moore, the Burke and Hare of modern politics. On the day that that Gordon was getting to his enormous feet and banging on about the wonderful things he was going to do for the economy, Burke and Hare were out there with a shovel and a bucket burying the story of Railtrack. There's a book you wouldn't buy.
I'm going to stick up for Stephen Byers because he is claiming in this disputed minute of this meeting, he claims that John Robinson, I think it is, the chief of Railtrack, told him specifically that Railtrack was about to run out of money. And John Robinson says he never said that. But you know how unclear those railway announcements are. So I think it's quite possible that what we have is just a genuine misunderstanding where they are both telling the truth.
It's a bit like the Archer case, though, isn't it? You don't know if Byers is telling the truth or not, same as you don't know if Archer's really guilty, you're just glad he's in prison. We don't care what happened, we're glad that Railtrack are knackered and it's going to be renationalised. Incidentally, are these tilting trains, is the purpose of that so they can do a wheelie over the bits of track maintained by Balfour Beatty?
Joe Moore has now attended so many burials, even her best friends call her the vicar. We start round two with an email received by staff at the Clerical Medical Investment Group.
As a result of the fire drill last week, a number of issues need to be reiterated. Do not stop to collect your coat or personal belongings. Do not return to your desk to collect anything. Do not go to the toilet if the alarm is already sounding, but evacuate immediately.
Thanks to Michael Helcock for that. Jeremy, why is Greek justice flying in the face of public opinion?
Oh, this is the odd plane spotter story. These people's hobby is spotting planes. And they went to Greece, and people just thought, that is such a weird hobby, these people are not safe out on the streets. Which is true. Unfortunately, there isn't any legislation covering... I'm sure it could be rushed through. It's a knee-jerk principle So they went to spot planes in Greece, sort of twitchers, like bird spotters, and they spot planes, and then they say, there's one. They say, are you sure? Yeah, that's a plane, all right. And then the Greeks arrested them for spying on military stuff.
Gosh, I must say, you wouldn't have thought of it before as an extreme sport, would you? Suddenly seems very glamorous. You get arrested for spying and...
It's even more nerdy than train spotting. If it were a movie, it would be a load of people hooked on paracetamol, wouldn't it?
I think it's unsettling that the Greeks might have military secrets we don't know about. You never think about it. I mean, you worry about the Iraqis or the Ukrainians, whatever. What have the Greeks got? I mean, they may well have nuclear javelins or anthrax discus. What are Greek military secrets?
It's just that all their planes have got very lewd drawings on the side. Ancient things with huge priapic men on the side.
Do you think the Greek standard of spying is a lot lower than ours? Because I can't help feeling that if you saw lots of people in anoraks standing on the fringe of an airfield looking through binoculars at planes and writing things down on notepads in full view, we would probably think, I don't think they are spies. The spies are meant to be a bit secretive. But maybe the Greek Secret Service is so abysmal that's seen as fiendish cleverness.
I do have this secret language, though. We went to Athens once, arrived at the airport, and all the signs were in this bizarre thing that they cooked up. You had to hold it in front of the fire so the invisible writing came out. I mean, they all speak natural spy. They have fluent spy. They wouldn't have to turn... Of course, in my day, we had to turn the signpost around when the Germans landed, you know. They wouldn't have to do that in Greece. They wouldn't know where they were going. It would say Lowestoft and nobody would know where it was because it was written... They're very clever, aren't they?
What, in Lowestoft?
Very clever, the Greeks.
The Greek authorities have not said how long they'll hold the plane spotters, but hinted they may do a deal with the Elgin Marbles. Part of the problem is cultural. Plane spotting does not exist in Greece, where local people have what is known there as a life.
Now, I'm just going to say that my sympathies go out to... There is actually a long-suffering wife in this group, isn't there, who was sitting in the coach, but she was only keeping her poor husband company, you know, and she was sitting in the coach reading a book. And they've arrested her as well. So obviously the standard is even lower than I realise.
Linda, why shouldn't we shy away from drugs?
Because apparently scientists have discovered a drug that overcomes shyness. Now, I thought we already had a drug that overcomes shyness. It's called alcohol. It works very well. It's never failed me, especially at this time of year. You can see people rolling down the streets, paralytic with overcome shyness. But apparently now there's something else, a little pill you can take, so at last an end to having a drink misery.
I think people who claim to be shy are just miserable, unfriendly bastards. That's the truth of it.
There was also a report out this week saying that antisocial tendencies, criminal violence and things like that, are not the product of low self-esteem. It's the product of over-high self-esteem. It's super confident, smug people who think that they are better than everybody else who cause all the problems in the world.
I'm a bit stuck on the first half of that question. When do you take this drug escargot, which apart from anything else sounds like it's made from snails, when you feel shyness coming on, or is it like Viagra, does it wear off? Are you halfway through this fantastic anecdote and suddenly begin blushing and failing? If you are shy, how do you, as it were, get it up to be unshy, and how long does it... And are you on it forever? Do you go to your grave gabbling? Sitting on the hearse saying, have you heard the one about this?
With a successful. Called again,
it's called Escar Grill or something.
I think I've had 2 weeks now. It's on the Algarve, isn't it?
It's called something like that. Simon, tell us what
it's called. It's called Escitalopram.
Oh, of course it is.
If people who are terribly smug are responsible for social disorder, then why don't you ever see Jonathan Miller smashing up a railway carriage?
No, he just directs operas, which is antisocial in its own way.
Well, that's true.
It's a cry for help, definitely.
Yeah.
Experts of the company Synexus said they knew they were onto a winner when a previously shy and retiring lab rat ran off one night to join the audience at So Graham Norton. Andy, your piece of music. Andy Witch Shepherd will be watching flocks of future women.
Oh.
Witch Shepherd will be watching flocks of future women.
It's a Mr. Shepherd of some kind.
No, it's not.
It isn't. It's a real shepherd.
No.
What kind of shepherd is it?
A Mrs. Shepherd.
Oh. Who's Mrs. Shepherd?
Flocks. I think we don't know.
I think we may go on to the next question.
Yeah, go on to the next.
Well, you've got to tell us.
Can we have the one about Gordon Brown again? I enjoyed that.
Linda, do you know?
No, I'm trying to work it out by the use of logic.
Oh, no, that's like ages.
Always a mistake.
I told you we should have brought games in.
Is it a pregnant woman?
Is it?
Oh, I don't think so, not at her age.
Well, what's his future? Oh, it's an old Mrs. Shepherd, is it?
Well, past childbearing years, yes.
She's past childbearing
years.
Oh,
is this an embryology or something?
No, we've had that.
Oh, right.
Was it in the newspapers?
Oh, God, no.
It's about women in the future.
Is it a Tory Shepherd? Is it Mrs. Shepherd?
Ian Shepherd,
well done.
You've got there. Good man.
How are we supposed to remember a member of the shadow cabinet these days? That is impossibly difficult. I mean, there's Ian Dunkin' Donut, and after that, I can't remember anything.
You did it. She's been appointed Minister for Future Women or something.
It's something like that.
Yeah, she wants more women Tories.
Tory women.
Michael Howard's back in circulation as well,
oh,
isn't he?
Oh, no, yeah.
He doesn't want any more Tory women, does he? That,
no,
having had Widdicombe,
just...
you think it'd be enough?
I think he must have got the nails out of the lid. It's a bit of a shock. I thought I'd ended a time warp because, yes, he was at the dispatch box. He's Shadow Chancellor,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Is he? Never
well,
is.
How did he slip through the net out of that sorry bunch then? Well, he must have some negatives of somebody doing something. Yes, we'll have the points for that, thank you.
So you can have one point because I told the answer.
Very funny to be Shadow Chancellor when you don't cast one. Did you know that? Yeah?
Alan, which men's prison is no longer the daddy now?
Oh, it's all these women being sent into Chokey. So many women are being sent to prison that they've run out of women's prisons and they're converting a man's prison. They're having pails where the lids come down so the women can complain.
But there was also a story this week saying that women are getting much more violent. That's just a statistic. It's not... I'm not going to crack a joke about that because it's a very serious matter, particularly when you're 5'4".
The women in women's prisons are... I've got all these films. There's this little shop on the corner. And you wouldn't believe the women in women's prisons. They are extraordinary. I don't know how they got into prison. They're most fantastic figures.
How do you know?
I've got these films.
Oh, so...
I've got Woman in Prison 1, right up to Woman in Prison 37.
Yeah, I think you'll find, Alan, that Hot Action on Sea Wing is not a documentary.
Some of the warders are crackers.
There are over 4,000 women in prison today, compared with only 1,000 in the 1970s. The expected bill for converting a men's prison to a woman's prison is said to run into millions of pounds, though Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen says he can do it for 50. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Daily Echo.
The man who is planning to appeal said he would have to have been Superman to have urinated over the war memorial. I was on the other side of the wall, and I simply could not have urinated over it. One of my friends who's a plumber said even he could not have urinated that far.
Thanks to Pauline Hoare of Southampton for that. Jeremy, who announced yesterday she won't be doing Today After Tomorrow?
Oh, Sue McGregor. Sue McGregor is leaving the Today programme, and I think there's some fallout. Peter would be able to dish the dirt on this, because he's shaking his head. Right.
He's worried about all those violent women, eh? Sue McGregor comes steaming across the table with a knuckle duster at him, if he bled.
Yeah, she's dishing the dirt on how she's been treated shabbily.
Are you worried, Peter? Has she got any dirt on you? No.
think Sue should stay on. If Jimmy Young can stay on, then Sue should stay on too.
Yeah, but that's embryo technology that allows Jimmy Young.
That's the most discreet I've seen you ever be. That was fantastic.
We should have got him drunk beforehand. He could have told us everything.
And then all dug go down Ladbrokes. We clean up.
I do admire the... I mean, I do despise politicians instinctively, but you've got to admire them because they do go on the Today programme. And if it was you or I, then, you know, Humphreys would be banging on us and we'd just say, oh, I don't know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. God.
Sue McGregor is to leave the Today programme after 14 years. John Humphreys said, and this is true, it feels sometimes like she's ticking off the nation, who is tucking a telephone directory down his trousers in case he gets a good spanking. He should get out more. Linda, whose round of drinks was a sobering experience.
Oh, yes, it's this man who went into a West End nightclub and bought a round of drinks for everyone, which cost £42,000. Well, they sting you on the mixers, don't they? Mind you, he was a bit of a fool to himself, because when people asked for a Jack Daniels, he bought them a bottle of Jack Daniels and whole bottles of champagne. So I don't know who he is. He sounds lovely.
He was German.
German? Mm. Yeah.
They're immensely generous people. No, they really are.
No, I know.
They put their hands in their pocket. Of course, usually there's a Luger in there, but they... No German is ever shy in buying his round. I mean, he didn't even give his name, did he? I mean, he just paid 42,000 quid and went home again.
Just left like Zorro, just...
Yeah. It was a club called Brown's, I think.
And it was the owner's birthday, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
If the gentleman is listening, I think it might be my birthday tomorrow. And I might go to Brown's. I don't know.
An unnamed German man bought a round of drinks to the value of £42,000 in a West End restaurant. For that money, the businessman could have bought an entire pub in North Yorkshire, but decided against it because it would have cost another £42,000 to take the train there. Andy, why has a Big Mac been brought down to size?
Ah, oh, now this is a great story. This is a gentleman who wanted to open a chain of Chinese restaurants. Is that correct? And he wanted to call them McChina. And McDonald's, in their overweening arrogance, claimed that they own the prefix Mc. So that means McDonald's own 98% of the Scottish people. And I'm pleased to say that the court booted McDonald's out on their arse and said, that is nonsense. And this gentleman going to open... He was very gracious in defeat. He said he was a great...
Chinese restaurants won the right to open a chain of takeaways called McChina after a ruling against McDonald's. Ruling in the Chinese restaurant's favour, the judge directed the parties to items 42, 17 and 83 on the charge sheet and ended up with, well, you've written it yourself. Mr. Yuan, who opened his first store next to a McDonald's in Wimbledon 10 years ago. He thought the burger bar might be taking things a little too seriously when they unveiled a welcome sign for visiting Wimbledon tennis champion John Enroe. Alan, which nut had his assorted nuts turned into assaulted nuts?
Well, I remember this story only because the man lives in a place called Crackpot Cottage. Here's Bummy. What he did, he invented a hat from which you could feed birds, provided you strapped it onto your head. And it's a sort of Homburg with a little cottage growing out of it. And in that cottage, you put nuts and bits of fried bacon, or he does. This man, whose name's McFadden, or... Well, McFadden probably belongs to Ronald McDonald. I think his name is Madden. Anyway, he lives in Crackpot Cottage, and he built a hat with a little house on it, and he walked about so that birds would come in and eat the bacon and fly around and do whatever excites this owner. Unfortunately, a squirrel noticed the nuts and jumped out of a tree and knocked him out. fell straight into the cottage on his head and knocked him out. Can you imagine what his insurance claim is going to look like when he shows it? When Norwich Union look at this and say, so then, the screw... Uh-huh. Anyway, that's what happened to him. I think his name was Madden or Maddle or Muddle or something.
It is.
I think he'll ever get that hat out of the wardrobe again now. Because all the grey squirrels will be onto it, won't they? Because they're vicious gang mentality.
Yorkshire inventor Mike Madden suffered whiplash injuries when a squirrel landed on his head as he was testing a bird-feeding hat. Since the attack, Mr. Madden's abandoned plans to go into the woods wearing his latest design, a bear-attracting hat with two loo rolls on the top. Before we reveal the final exciting scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Jeremy.
This was sent in by Noel Whittall of Leeds, and it's from the Times TV listings of September the 25th, Channel 4, 9 p.m. Extinct. Documentary about extinct creatures that are now extinct.
Linda.
This is a cutting from The Argos, East Sussex, sent in by Geoffrey Gilley. It's from the TV listings as well. Film, The Green Man. Sparkling black comedy, Alistair Sim shines as a professional killer whose efforts to eliminate a pompous politician are hampered by George Cole, delightfully cast as a vacuum cleaner.
Andy.
This is from Mrs. Caroline Jones of Walton-on-Thames. It's taken from the Mail on Sunday. A short-sighted racing greyhound, which kept coming second because it needed another dog to follow, started winning after it was fitted with contact lenses.
I have a cutting that's been sent in by Kevin McAndrew, who's probably, well, even now, being eaten by some enthusiastic American lawyer. Anyway, he comes from Newcastle, and he sent me a cutting from my own paper, The Times, which I missed. The letter to The Times is written by Mr. B. Willerton. Sir, recently I telephoned my local council to inform them that a lamppost outside my house was not working. I also informed them that a number of lights in a busier road round the corner from me were also not working. The telephonist asked me to go along the road and take a note of the numbers of the 40 lampposts, as the engineers only check the lights during daylight hours.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final score. Jeremy and Linda have 14, but Alan and Andy, this week's winners, with 17 points. Before we leave you for the last time until Christmas Day, here's an item sent in by Mrs. Alison Johnson of Cheshire.
A surfer bitten in the side by a shark off Australia's east coast has survived, but said he would not have been able to swim to safety if the shark had bitten his arm off.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and Linda Smith. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Simon Littlefield, Paul McKenzie and George Poles, and the producer was Lucy Armitage.